very early in one's yeshiva chinuch, we learn to identify Parshas B'Shamach with Kriyas Yamsuf. To the extent that many of us slip into a mistaken idea entirely of Parshas B'Shamach. And we think that that's what the Parsha is all about. It's about Kriyas Yamsuf. Maybe if we're a little bit more sophisticated, we'll remember that the end of B'Shamach is also about the Mechoma of Amoni. But that's about where our awareness of Parshas B'Shamach begins and ends. So I wanted to share with you, Bezras Hashem, this evening, several insights about this parsha, and to explain Bezrat Hashem the concepts that are presented to us in Parshas B'Shamach after Oz Yashir, after Kriyas Yamsuf. The truth of the matter is that everything that is found in Parshas B'Shamach from after the Shir of Miriam, which concludes the episode of Kriyas Yamsuf, and through the Mechoma of Amoni, every episode that is mentioned there, and there are seven of them that I have reviewed carefully for the Shmuas tonight, every episode there is an essential hagdome for Kabbalas HaTorah that we read about Mirz Hashem, that we will read about Bezrat Hashem in Parshas Yisro. They are essential hagdomes for the Parsha of Kabbalas HaTorah. Every incident that's mentioned after Kriyas Yamsuf through Mechomas Amomei is an essential prerequisite for Kabbalas HaTorah that we read about in Parshas Yisro. And that's why those episodes occurred and why they're presented to us in the Chumash. So that every year when we prepare ourselves anew for Kabbalas HaTorah, we prepare ourselves again and again annually for the hagdomas that will make our Kabbalas HaTorah effective. We'll start with the first pasuk after the Shir of Miriam. V'tan lohem Miriam shiru l'Hashem ki go'ol go'ol sus v'rofo ramah v'ayom. And then the Chumash begins. V'yasa Moshe es Yisrael miyam suf v'yetsu al midbar shur v'yechu shmoshes yomim b'midbor v'lo yukmatsu mayim. They went 3 days journey in the desert and they found no water. We would anticipate that since they found no water, they got very thirsty. It's a logical conclusion. But the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Pei Beis, doesn't come to that conclusion at all. A very interesting Gemara. Vayechu shmoshes yomim b'midbar v'mo motsu moyim. That's the pasuk that we just read. Dorshe Rishumos Omru. And the Chazal tell us, Ein Mayim El Torah. Mayim always symbolizes Torah. Shenemar Oy Kot Somein Luchuma Mayim. Kivin Shehochu Shloshes Yomim Belo Torah. Since they went 3 days without Torah, Nilu, they became faint. They became exhausted. Doesn't say they became thirsty. And the meaning is that they recognize that their whole connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu began to weaken. They felt something was different. Something was missing. They just had crossed the Yam Suf. They reached the Madrega, where everyone said, Zeh Keni V'Anvehu. They could point to the Borei Olam. Their belief in the reality of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that was revealed at Kriyas Yam Suf was so real to each of them. Zeh Keni, they pointed to Hashem. Zeh Keni V'Anvehu. And suddenly they went 3 days without Mayim, without Torah, and they became faint. They became weakened, they became exhausted. They experienced that their connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu was changed. And I consider this the first Hakdama to Torah. The awareness that is only Torah that enables the Jewish neshama to flourish, to be productive, to reach a full and fullest potential. Without Torah, this is impossible. The Yiddish neshama, without Torah, starts to wither and starts to faint away. That's the first Hagdama. A person has to appreciate that the Torah is the whole key for the growth and development in Olam Hazeh, and certainly our neshamas in Olam Haba. The whole key for the development of a Jew and his neshama is Torah. And without Torah, we start to wither away and we become arid and barren, like a wasteland desert. That's what happens to a person without Torah. We are given a small glimpse of that in a yeshiva. And I certainly include our yeshiva as one of them. In a yeshiva, we are now about little less than 2 months from the end of the Zman. And we've been here, Baruch Hashem, since Elul. And I am sure that many of you recognize, as I do, not because of any special glasses that I'm wearing, that there's been a tremendous growth in Bachrim in the yeshiva, even those who have just been here this since Elul, let alone boys who have been here previous years. There's a difference. There's a marked difference. And the difference is not skin deep. Some boys more, some boys less. But I would say, I think without exception, to the best of my ability to judge, I think there's been a recognizable change in every Bacher who's come here since Elul. It's not because of me, and it's not because of your parents and your Rabbeim. Everybody contributes to the growth of a Bacher. is because of the effect that Torah has had upon the characters and personalities of the men who study here. And this the Yidden recognized was lacking. Suddenly they felt something changed. 3 days they went without Torah, something's wrong. We're not the same. The next point I wanted to share with you is a Gevaltik Perish from the Hafnor, in this Perish and Chumash called Konim Yofos. The next Posse tells us, Vayovu Morosa, they came to Mora, v'lo yochu lishtos mayim mimora, ki morim hem, al kein koro shmo Mora. They came to Mora and they saw a well of water. They'll be able to quench their thirst. 3 days they weren't able to drink. They were disappointed. The waters were very bitter. The Ponim Yofos tells us, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. We're talking about a spiritual search for water. How are they going to revive themselves and renew their connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu that they lost in the last 3 days when they weren't learning? And he says, but they were very disappointed because the waters were bitter. And here the Hafnor tells us that this represented the Klal Yisrael, that when a person starts to drink the waters of Torah, if he expects sweet, pleasant waters, maybe with a little sugar and flavoring added to the water, he's in for a big mistake, big surprise. When he starts to drink the waters of Torah, they're going to be bitter, and very bitter. And that's the entry of a person to Torah. It's bitter, it's not sweet, it's very bitter. It's very difficult. On one hand, it's intellectually challenging, but it has its accompanying frustrations and difficulties and aggravations. And if a person doesn't accept the first step, that the waters of Torah are not going to be sweet, but they're going to be bitter, then he won't be able to move ahead. Nobody wants to drink bitter water. A person has to appreciate that the waters must be bitter in the beginning, or he'll never appreciate and taste and enjoy their sweetness later on. That's why the Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu was directed to sweeten the waters of Torah by putting into them bitter wood, which illustrates the point we're bringing out. It's only the bitter haschomer that can sweeten the waters of Torah. A person wants to appreciate the sweetness of water of Torah, then he has to be prepared for a bitter beginning. It has to start with bitterness. And then the sweetness will be indescribable, and he'll fall in love with learning, without question, without question. There's an auxiliary point here that the Panim Yafos makes that I also want to share with you, and something that many of us have already experienced. He points out that as a person grows in learning, these steps are repeated. A person opens up a Gemara and he starts to learn for the first time. It certainly is bitter. It's very frustrating. No nekudos in the Gemara. It's not Hebrew. It's Aramaic. Here we catch a word or there. It's very frustrating. But the time comes and a person's able to read a black Gemara. Read the Gemara. Read Rashi and understand what's going on. And then he comes to a new level where he starts to learn Tosfos. When he comes to a new level in his learning, the Hafloah says the same process starts over again. Again, he experiences a bitterness. He experiences a frustration. What's Tosfos asking? What is he answering? How does it relate to what Rashi says? A whole new world opens up, a whole new world of frustrations and bitterness. But if he continues and he doesn't back down, then another world opens up, a new world of sweetness. And all of a sudden he gets such an enjoyment from learning a Tosfos that he never dreamt of, far beyond what he got from learning Rashi. And then he comes to a new level where he starts to learn with Rishonim, and he starts to learn with Achronim, and whole new libraries of knowledge open up in front of his eyes that were there before, but all the books were closed. And all of a sudden they open up for him. So very beautifully the Flaw mentions that this process in the study of Torah, that the first step is one of bitterness, and it is followed by sweetness. And it has to be the first step. If not, a person will never come to the sweetness. This is repeated throughout a person's growth and learning at Meyaves in Shana. And it points out in the Parsha further, Vayimtuku Hamoyim, he sweetened the waters, as we said, with bitter wood. Shom Som Lo Chok Umishpot, the Shom Nisohu. And the Hafloah learns Pshat, Shom Som Lo Chok refers to the bitterness of Torah. It's like a chok that a person has to start with bitterness. We'd love to skip over it, but we can't, if we understand its significance or not. But the chok leads to mishpat. The mishpat is the sweetness of learning that follows the bitter beginning. This concept is also reflected, interestingly, in a Gemara in Brachos, and also in a Rambam that Mr. Shem, I want to share with you. The Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Hei, a Gemara that especially relates to each of us now that we're zoicha to learn in Eretz Yisrael. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi Omer, Shomosh Matonos Tovo, Nosan Akorish Baruch Hu Yisrael, V'kulon Lo Nitnon Elo Al Yedei Yisuri. The Eibishter gave three precious gifts to Klal Yisrael, but all three were only given through Yisurin, through difficulties, aggravations, through bitterness, in terms of what we're speaking about this evening. What are these three gifts? Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. That's why I said, now that we're zoicha to learn Torah, in Eretz Yisrael. And certainly, Bezrat Hashem, we're rewarded with Olam Haba. So we have these three gifts, the kinyan of which occupy our whole day long, if we only take advantage and use our time to acquire these gifts. But Torah are one of the three gifts that is only nikne b'yisurim. It can only be acquired with difficulty and through difficulty. And the Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Talmud Torah in Hamacha Yud Beis spells out for us what he means by the difficulties with which Torah is acquired. Ein divrei Torah miskayomin, the misha marape atzmo aleihim. You won't find Torah making a final resting place in a person who studies Torah lackadaisically. I think that's a very good English translation of the word. Shemarape atzmo aleihem. Learns Torah with a weakness, lackadaisically. V'lo be'emu shelomdi mitoch idun, mitoch achila u'shesiyo. Not those who learn in the midst of indulgence in gashmiistic pleasures. Mo be'emu shalomdim mitoch idun mitoch achino u'shesiyo. Where is Torah found? The Rambam continues. Elo b'misha meimes atzmo aleihem. A person who's willing to sacrifice whatever he can of physical, material luxuries and indulgences. Umitztayer gufo tomi, and he's willing to undertake difficulty, physical difficulty, not indulging in sleep, in eating, and so on. V'lo yitein sheino le'eino u'le'afo pof tenumo. Sacrifices on sleep, sacrifices on rest. That's by whom we find Torah. Those are the bitter pills with which a person makes a kinyan in Torah, at which the Gemara speaks. According to what we have been saying, when it says in the pasuk here, Shom Somlo, Chochu Mishpot, Vishom Nisahu, there the Eibishter gave us the privilege of learning Torah, first through bitterness and then through sweetness. And then the pasuk ends, Vishom Nisahu, means, and there they were tested. We find different explanations in the Meforshim what that means. According to what we're saying, it's very poshut. That as a person proceeds in his aliyah in Torah, he is constantly being tested. If he's going to roll up his sleeves and accept the sacrifices that are required of him in order to taste the eventual sweetness of Torah. That's the Vishom Nisohu. There's an interesting insight that's given to us by the Netziv and the next pasuk here. Vayomrim Shemoa Tishma Lako Hashem Elokecha Yosher Bein Otase Azantum Mitzvoso Shamarto Kochuko Kom Hamachmo Asher Samti V'Mitzrayim Mo Asim Olech Ani Hashem Rofecha. A bracha that seems at first glance to be out of place. It says Hashem will protect us and keep us in good health. and we won't have any of the sicknesses that befell the Mitzrim in Mitzrayim. How does that fit in here? And I would learn Pshat with a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Tzadik Tes. The Gemara says as follows, the Valtiki Gemara. Omar Rava, Kulo Gufe, the Repotike Ninhu. Tuve de Zoche de Havi de Rapoteke de Araisa. Every person comes into Olam Hazeh for a lifetime at Meya Veshim Shono to undertake difficulties. Every person has his set of challenges and his set of tests. No one escapes. I'm sure that there are many people who would love to start out their life with Olam Haba. But somehow the Eibishter didn't plan it that way. We don't start out in Olam Haba, we start out in Olam Hazeh. And Olam Hazeh is filled with trials and tribulations and one challenge after another. But the Gemara says, happy is the person whose trials and challenges come to him as a result of Torah. A person has to be happy that the aggravations and problems he have are a result of Torah. I was privileged to be a Rav for 15 years, 9 years in Miami and 6 years in Long Beach, New York. And I thank the Eibishter all the time. I don't think I'm exaggerating that the 15 years in the Rabbonis, I think that probably 95% of all the aggravations I had, and I had my share like everybody, I had from my work with the two Nesiftas that I was able to establish in Miami and in Long Beach. 95%, not with my shuls and not with my Balabati, but because of my involvement with the Mesiftas that I established. So in the 15 years, almost all of my aggravations came from my work with the two Mesiftas, even though the Rabbonis is also Torah. But that's an example of what the Gemara means. A person has to be happy if the aggravations and difficulties and challenges he has in life come from Torah. And that's the point that the Chazam are mentioning here. The point that the Chazam are telling us. And bringing the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadik Tes tells us that explicitly. So the Netziv points out that in speaking of such an individual who accepts upon himself the bitterness of Torah and then eventually comes to the sweetness of Torah. So as a result of that, the Eibishter will remove from him other types of aggravations. On the top of the list is sickness. And he'll be well and healthy. It's a gevaltik bracha. That's where this fits into context, according to the way we've been learning now with the Ponim Yofos and with the Netziv here. The Komachos of Samta Mitzrayim won't affect you because you're assuming different types of burdens, the bitterness of Torah, and therefore other types of difficulties like pranosa and health and so on will be removed from you, other types of problems. Then we come to the Parsha of the Mon. And there's a Gevalta Mechilta here that speaks for itself. The Mechilta says that Yirmiyah Novi is going to give Musar to Klal Yisrael. Mipnei ma ein atem oskim b'toyra. How come you're not learning more? Omrungo, they'll tell him, we'd love to learn more, but we got families to support. We're not bachelors, got a wife, we have children, we got to marry them off. They need our help. But mani sparnes, how are we going to support ourselves? When the Yidden will ask Yirmiyahu this question, it's a logical question. He has to give them an answer. So we find the answer in this week's parsha. The Mechilta says, Hotzi lohem tzumuchi shel mon, he's going to take out a little jar of mon. Omar lohem, Hadora tem ru devar Hashem, avoseichem shehoyo oskim b'toyra, your forefathers sat and learned Torah. Re'u b'manis parnasu, this is how they were supported. The mon fell from heaven and supported them. What's your problem? I'm not selling you a cat in a sack. Millions of Jews, your ancestors, your forefathers, live from the mon. Hashem supports a person who accepts upon himself the own of Torah. Afatem in tasku v'toyra HaKadosh Baruch Hu yefarnas chemes, because Hashem will support you also with mon. Every generation has its different form of mon that falls min shaman, to which a person can be zoyche if he places his bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gevaltik in Mechilta. And then we come across the episode of Amalek. And the Yidden present a strange question to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When they're presented with the challenges that stand before them with Amalek, they want to know, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im oyev. Strange question. A short while ago they went through Kriyas Yamsuf, the ocean split into 12 highways, every shevet went through independently, and now they're asking if Hashem is in our midst or not. Well, the Nesiv gives a brilliant pshat, and the Nesiv says that the Yidden did not question Chas v'Shalom if Hashem was in their midst or not. They knew that Hashem was in their midst. Their question was a more sophisticated one. They wanted to know if Hashem would be in their midst after Moshe Rabbeinu leaves them. When Moshe Rabbeinu is living, then miracles appeared, supernatural miracles. Mamama Maderech HaTeva. But they realized that once Moshe Rabbeinu is immortal, he's not going to live forever. Once he leaves them, will Hashem still be in their midst or not? That's what they were asking. That's how the Nesiv learns the question. Because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted Yoshua to lead the army in battle against the Amalek, and he did not lead them in battle against the Amalek. But if he would have gone to fight Amalek, they would have dropped dead on the spot. That would have been the end. It would not have proven the point for the Yidden. It would have strengthened their Amunah. That even if Moshe Rabbeinu will not be with them, Hashem remains with them always. It's a gevaltik pshat in the end of the parsha. And I want to conclude now with the gevaltik of Zohar that the Shema Kodosh mentions in Parshas B'Shalach. The gevaltik of Zohar. The Pasuk says, Yamincho Hashem Nadori Bakoach, Yamincho Hashem Tiratz Oyev. So the Zohar says, when your right hand, which grips the Torah strongly, will be glorified with strength through your Hasmodah, Yamincho Hashem Tiratz Oyev, your right hand will shatter your enemies. There is no power effective against our sonim like Limud Torah. It is a ludicrous understatement to compare it to an atomic bomb. It's impossible to compare the power of Torah to destroy our enemies to any earthly concept. Yamincha Hashem Nadori Bakoach. When the Eden sit and learn Torah, in the right hand with which the Torah was given is involved in hasmodas of leaning, of learning, then we are invincible against our enemies. Yamincha Hashem Terasso Yeh, we shatter our soul. And every one of us who are zoicha in these precarious times for Kal Yisrael, when the times are precarious, especially in Eretz Yisrael, and if in such times we are zoicha to be in the vanguard of Kal Yisrael, on the front lines of Kal Yisrael, with our hasmode and with our learning and our talking and learning, then this is the koach that we need, the koach that we have always had and the koach we shall always have to destroy our enemies and be zoicha to see the gula shleima b'mehera v'yomeinu.